I'm Sheila Cast, and this is Midday. Maryland's Eastern Shore has a lot of chickens and enough chicken manure to fill M&T Bank Stadium twice every year. That manure is a major pollutant of the Chesapeake Bay. Last summer, Governor Hogan implemented a regulation that restricts how much chicken litter farmers can spread on fields. Now environmental advocates want a law requiring poultry companies to carry the financial burden of disposing of that extra manure, taking farmers and taxpayers out of the equation. The poultry industry says it's already doing its part. We'll talk to Michelle Merkel of Food and Water Watch and Carol Morrison, a former contract grower for Purdue. And we'll hear from Purdue Farm spokesperson Julie DeYoung and you. It's Midday, right after the news from NPR. Welcome to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks so much for tuning in. You may have heard that the Chesapeake Bay is on a diet, a pollution diet. In 2010, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency ordered Maryland and all the other states that drain into the bay to address their pollutant problems by 2025 or face federal sanctions. Agriculture, particularly manure, is the largest source of bay pollution, and in Maryland, that means chickens. Last year, environmentalists scored a partial victory. The Hogan administration put in place a regulation restricting how much manure farmers could use as fertilizer on fields. That regulation, of course, did nothing to reduce how much manure Maryland's chickens produce. The question of what to do with excess manure is an open one. Whatever happens, environmentalists want the poultry industry to bear the responsibility, the financial cost of handling manure. This week, Senators Richard Mattolino and Joan Carter Conway, both Democrats, introduced the Poultry Litter Management Act. It would make the chicken companies responsible for disposing of the manure their chickens produce. To discuss what's at stake and why, we're joined by Michelle Merkel, co-director of Food and Water Justice. It's the legal arm of the environmental nonprofit Food and Water Watch. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And on the line from Pocomoke City on the Eastern Shore is Carol Morrison. She grew chickens under contract with Purdue for 23 years until 2009. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We also reached out to the Delmarva Poultry Industry, the trade group for the industry, to the Maryland Farm Bureau, and to the National Chicken Council. All declined to be on this show. Julie DeYoung, a spokesperson for Purdue Farms, did speak with me yesterday, and we'll hear parts of that conversation during this hour. 2 years ago, Delmarva Poultry Industries Executive Director Bill Satterfield spoke with Tom Pelton on WIPR's Environment in Focus about a similar bill that failed then. It was known as the chicken tax. It would have imposed a 5 cent per chicken tax on poultry companies to be used for bay cleanup. And here's what Satterfield said then.
The chicken companies do not own the manure. They do not own the farmland on which the manure is applied as the locally produced organic fertilizer. And it's a stretch to say that the chicken companies should be responsible for the environmental practices of farmers throughout the state of Maryland.
So let me ask Carol Morrison, since you used to grow chickens for Purdue, I mean, if farmers are raising chickens, why shouldn't they take responsibility for the manure?
Well, basically, contract farmers who raise the chickens, their job and what they contract for is to bring company-owned chickens to a marketable weight. And then the company comes and takes the chickens and processes them. At no time do the farmers even own the animals. The title of the flock remains in the hands of the company, except when the chickens are dead, then they belong to the farmer to dispose of.
And is that literally written into the agreement?
Yes.
Tell me more about this relationship between the contract growers and how the chicken companies work.
Well, the contracts are, number one, non-negotiable. And they are designed by the companies. It's a take-it-or-leave-it basis. And, you know, the contracts over the years have been changed so many times by the companies to externalize all of their costs. And in that way, they're able to push more off onto the farmer. And, of course, once the farmer is in debt, they have no choice but to sign the contract.
You were a grower for Purdue for 23 years.
Correct.
How many chickens did you raise at any given time?
We used to raise 54,400 chickens 5.5 times a year.
And so Purdue delivered those chickens to you?
Yes, from their company-owned hatchery that were hatched from their eggs, and they brought the chicks and dropped them off for us to raise.
And how did you handle the manure?
We were fortunate to have a farmer who tills about 2,000 acres, and he would come and take the manure. It was a blessing, really, because the manure had to go somewhere. Our land was saturated with phosphorus at that time, and we didn't need any manure. So luckily, we were able to give it away. Not many farmers, contract farmers, are in that position. And nowadays, with these huge developments of chicken houses that are being built, there's nowhere for the manure to go.
Michelle Merkel, I want to pick up on Carol's mention of phosphorus. Am I right that it is the phosphorus in chicken manure that is the pollutant for the bay?
Yes, it's both phosphorus and nitrogen. As Carol mentioned, there's too much manure being produced. Often this manure is used as a valuable fertilizer, but we know that there's too much manure being produced relative to the land that's available to accept it as a fertilizer. So oftentimes it's overapplied, it ends up running off into waterways or leaching into groundwater. The main pollutants of concern, as you mentioned, are phosphorus and nitrogen. These can cause algae blooms in the water, depriving it of oxygen, which can result in death to aquatic life. There's also very serious public health implications. USGS came out with a report last year that said...
USGS, the U.S. Geological Survey?
Yes, said that the groundwater and surface water on the Eastern Shore is the most contaminated waterways in the nation, among the most contaminated in the nation. Nitrate contamination can cause increases in certain types of cancers, blue baby syndrome, which can result in infant mortality, and spontaneous abortions. So this excess waste that isn't being properly managed has really serious implications for both the environment and for public health.
But I asked about phosphorus because the new regulation that I mentioned from the Hogan administration I guess it was actually proposed about a year ago and was finalized last summer.
Yes.
Is specifically a phosphorus management tool.
That's correct. The main focus is on phosphorus, which is a huge problem. And what they've discovered is that the tool that farmers were using to determine how much phosphorus they could safely apply to cropland was really outdated. And in fact, they were overapplying it. So this tool...
And that's why it was running off.
Correct.
My understanding, and I'm not a specialist like you are, is if you apply the right amount, the crop will absorb it and it won't end up running off into the bay.
Yeah, that's correct. And so what that means is that we should be applying a lot less phosphorus. The Maryland Department of Agriculture has determined that we have 228,000 tons of excess manure being produced. And the question is, what do we do with that excess waste and who should be responsible for managing it and for, you know, disposing of it if necessary in a way that protects the environment and communities?
That is Michelle Merkel, co-director of Food and Water Justice, the legal arm of the nonprofit Food and Water Watch, here on Midday on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. On the phone with us from Pocomoke is Carol Morrison, who grew chickens under contract with Purdue for 23 years. Michelle, you just mentioned 228,000
tons of
excess based on the expectation of what this phosphorus tool will allow farmers to use on their land.
That's correct.
Estimate of that much being beyond that much manure beyond what the phosphorus tool would allow. The Maryland Farm Bureau, as you know it, and as I mentioned, they declined to be on the show, but they sent this following statement, quote, "We believe the concept of the bill," the bill that was introduced yesterday, "We believe the concept of the bill is premature. We are only in the first of a two-year analysis provided in the phosphorus management tool regulations to determine the extent of the need to find new uses for poultry litter. Early analysis from the Maryland Department of Agriculture shows fewer acres will be impacted than originally presumed. We also urge all concerned stakeholders to put time and effort into developing and supporting alternative use technology. That is what we should be spending our time on in 2016, close quote. So as I understand that, the Maryland Farm Bureau is saying it may not be as much excess manure as you just said. It may not be such a big problem.
Well, they argue that the bill's premature. We would say that it's long overdue. We know based on MDA estimates of excess manure and studies, like I mentioned, from USGS, that we have a serious problem with excess waste. This bill is very reasonable. All it requires, and by the way, it's called the Poultry Litter Management Act, and all it requires is that these big poultry companies pick up excess waste at no cost to the grower operation. So as Carol said, the growers raise these chickens. They are responsible under their contracts for the excess manure and for the dead chickens. This bill would sort of level the playing field a bit by allowing the contract growers to keep waste that they need as a valuable fertilizer for their crops. But once it becomes in excess quantities, the companies must pick it up at no cost to the growers and transport it to either a third party that can use the waste or to an alternative use facility that won't cause harm to the environment or public health.
But what about, I mean, in terms of the legislation introduced this week, what about just the simple argument that it's early, that we should let this phosphorus management tool actually work for a while to see what the excess is, what the burdens would be?
Well, the phosphorus management tool is already being implemented. There are farmers today that can no longer apply any phosphorus to their cropland who would really benefit from this bill. In addition, taxpayers have been footing the bill for manure management practices, for manure transport for years. We think that the companies who own the chickens, reap the profits, should be managing their waste stream just like every other industry has to do.
Carol, I thought I heard your voice trying to get in.
What I was going to say is, if we are already having to move or transport manure off of the eastern shore, the phosphorus management tool doesn't mean a thing. It means that we have too much manure. Now, taxpayers are paying for it, and industry is utilizing it, even encouraging contract farmers to utilize manure transport program. And that's an admission in itself that we have a problem. I see no need for waiting for analysis, any more studies. You know, it is just to the point, something needs to be done. And the companies have gotten away scot-free in paying for the cost of moving manure and for cleaning up the bay. There's so many programs.
Tell me, Michelle, if you can, Michelle Merkel, from Food and Water Justice, about the transport program. How does that work?
So it's been in place for about 16 years. And as Carol indicated, the fact that we have a program means we have a problem with excess manure that needs to be transported elsewhere. Roughly, there's been about 40,000 tons per year of poultry litter that's been transported under the program each year. Most of that manure, almost entirely, is from the lower eastern shore in three main poultry-producing counties. About 95 to 99% of that tons transported come from Wicomico, Somerset, and Worcester counties. And Purdue, I think, takes the most advantage of the program. They transported about 80% of their waste to either of the waste that they've picked up. It's actually a small percentage of the overall waste that's produced, but they've taken it to a pelletizer facility in Delaware, or they'll send it to mushroom farms in Pennsylvania. So the idea is that you're going to transport the waste where it can be used responsibly.
We need to take a quick break here. We're going to continue with Michelle Merkel of Food and Water Justice and with Carol Morrison, a former grower for Purdue for 23 years. We're going to pick up on Carol. Carol just asserted that the industry has gotten off scot-free. We're going to hear some comments from the Purdue spokeswoman, which takes a different perspective. And we hope to hear from you also to take your comments and questions. Do you think this proposal before the legislature is a good idea, or would it make sense to let the regulations work longer before legislation is passed? And what should be done, do you think, with all this manure? Join our conversation by calling 410-662-8780 or send an email to midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this hour about chicken manure, specifically a proposal introduced into the General Assembly to require big poultry companies to carry the burden of handling manure from their chickens. Senator Rich Madalino, a Democrat of Montgomery County, who is the chief sponsor of the bill, I believe, asserted at the press conference yesterday that chickens in Maryland produce more manure than everybody else who lives in Maryland.
That's correct.
You're nodding your head.
Yes.
That's kind of a frightening thought. We're talking with Michelle Merkel of Food and Water Justice and with Carol Morrison, a former grower for Purdue for 23 years. As I mentioned earlier, we spoke yesterday with Purdue spokeswoman Julie DeYoung. I asked her about Purdue's position on the poultry litter legislation.
Well, we haven't seen the actual legislation yet, so I can't comment on the specifics. But what I can tell you is that Purdue already voluntarily takes poultry litter from Purdue contract growers, as well as any other poultry grower on Delmarva who doesn't have an outlet for it.
So you're saying that Purdue covers the cost of disposing of litter if farmers don't?
Correct. We have a facility called Purdue Agri-Recycle that we built back in 2001 that picks up poultry litter from farmers who either don't have the land to apply it or don't have a neighbor that they can trade or barter or sell it to. And we actually process it into organic fertilizer that is then sold either to fertilizer manufacturers, to organic growers, to golf courses and other folks that are looking for more natural fertilizer sources.
Okay, I was under the impression that there's a cost share program like the manure transport program in which taxpayers in Maryland foot part of the bill for chicken manure disposal, and that had cost the state more than $6 million since its inception in 1999. So I'm trying to square that with what you just told me about Purdue taking excess litter off the farmers' hands.
Sure. The Litter Transport Fund has been funded both by the state, as you mentioned, as well as by the poultry industry. So the individual poultry companies also put money into that fund. Purdue fully funds the litter transport program so that any of our growers that choose to use that program can do so at no cost to themselves.
But it is still a cost share with taxpayers.
That's correct. Yep. So it's a cost share program supported by the industry as well as taxpayers. So Purdue pays into that. We've put more than $2 million into that since 2006. I don't have the dollar numbers all the way back to 99, but we've put $2.1 million into that as a company. We also pay into the Bay Restoration Fund, the flush tax, because of our processing plants, and we've put almost $2 million into that. So, you know, despite what proponents of this bill might say, at least for Purdue's perspective, we're certainly helping our growers be responsible and taking responsibility for that litter if they don't have, you know, a used or a ready market for it.
That was Julie DeYoung, spokesperson for Purdue Farms. We spoke yesterday afternoon. So I'd like, Carol, to get your reaction to that. She obviously paints a very different picture than you see from your perspective of how much responsibility the poultry companies, Purdue in particular, are taking for handling the manure problem.
Well, I would first say that Purdue can be credited
for the pelletizing plant that they have in Delaware. But it's not acknowledged that that plant was built in part by taxpayer funds. It, you know, another cost share program. Secondly, it can only handle about 8% of the excess manure. And that is like a teaspoon full out of a bucket.
So you're saying it's just not a real solution.
It's not a realistic solution at all. And I still don't understand where any company expects for taxpayers to pay for disposing of their waste. When people own an animal, they're responsible for it. Now, we have other programs, and heaven forbid, should we have avian influenza break out here on the peninsula. However, the poultry companies will be reimbursed by taxpayers through programs for the fair market value of those chickens when they're destroyed. However, the grower doesn't get that money because they don't own the chicken. Now, you can't have it both ways. You collect money because you do own the chicken, and you make taxpayers pay to clean up after that chicken that you own. I don't understand that concept.
That's Carol Morrison, an organic chicken farmer who used to, for 23 years, grow chickens under contract with Purdue. This is Midday on WYPR, and if you've got comments or questions about how this manure is being handled and ideas about how it should be handled, you can call us. We have a toll-free number. If you're on the Eastern Shore, you could call us at 1-866-661-9309. Our local number is 410-662-8780. Or you can send us an email at midday@wypr.org. The guest with me here in the studio is Michelle Merkel from Food and Water Justice. And you look like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly respond as well to Ms. DeYoung's comments. First, this bill would make it mandatory, not voluntary, for all companies, not just Purdue, to pick up excess manure from their contract growers at no cost to them, relieving the burden on farmers. It would also eliminate the taxpayer subsidies. So while there has been some cost share on the part of the companies, there have also been millions of dollars of taxpayer monies being spent to transport their manure to potentially profit-making facilities like their pelletizer plant. Finally, there are this bill, if it passes, by no means eliminates taxpayer support for managing the company's waste. So we've got a $20 million fund of cost share monies that go to farmers to help them implement practices to prevent manure from running off their cropland. Ms. DeYoung mentioned the Bay Restoration Fund. Since 2004, $784 million of taxpayer funds have been used to upgrade wastewater treatment plants, upgrade septics, and 40% of the septics money has gone to cover crops, which again is another waste management practice to limit runoff from fields. So taxpayers are doing more than their fair share. This bill is just asking the companies to pick up the cost of manure transport, which is very modest.
How much do you estimate that the companies as a group would need to pay to satisfy this bill?
So current estimates expect that excess poultry manure requiring removal will increase, of course, to 228,000 tons per year, and that would cost taxpayers $4 million if they had to pick up the tab. It should be noted that MDA just updated its manure transport regulations to eliminate the cost share requirement for companies, so taxpayers could be on the hook for as much as $4 million. That, frankly, for these companies is chump change when you have a company like Purdue, for example, who made $6.4 billion in sales last year, according to Forbes. But that cost would be split among all of the companies. There are five, you know, big chicken companies that grow chickens on the Eastern Shore that would be responsible for paying the cost of transport.
Craig is calling us from Chestertown. Craig, welcome to Midday.
Yes.
Your question or comment?
Sure. My question is, can this waste product be utilized on cropland within the Eastern Shore as a replacement for commercial fertilizer that's being imported into the state? In that, I'm confused by your term excessive. What does excessive mean? Does it mean it can't stay in the state, or does it mean it just needs to be moved to somebody else's farm?
Let me ask Michelle Merkel from Food and Water Justice to address that.
Well, each farmer that applies waste to cropland has what's called a nutrient management plan that will tell them, you know, how much waste, how much phosphorus can be applied. They have an option to use commercial fertilizer or poultry litter, right? So if a farmer wants to use poultry litter, they can. In theory, there are areas of the state that maybe in Western Maryland that could accept the waste. And if that's the case, then corporations have the option of sending waste to any farmer, or the excess waste to any farmer that can use it responsibly. So this bill allows them to transport it to any third party that can use that as fertilizer, or to an alternative use facility like the Delaware pelletizer plant, for example.
So, but the way you answered Craig's question implies to me that you don't think there's land on the Eastern Shore, on the Delmarva Peninsula, that could accept more chicken manure as fertilizer.
Much of that land is already saturated with phosphorus, but that's what the phosphorus management tool does, is helps farmers to determine whether their particular parcel of land can accept any manure. I think by the industry estimates that once the PMT was in place, that they thought the phosphorus management tool, at least 21% of farmers wouldn't be able to apply at all. I mean, currently we know.
You're saying, did I hear correctly, at least one-fifth of the land on the Eastern Shore is beyond what the phosphorus management tool would allow to take more.
Yeah, I believe that's what the industry had said once the tool was being implemented. But I mean,
specifically, Craig asked, define excess. In other words, we've been talking about excess, and when you talk about excess manure, say as clearly as you can what makes it excess.
It's excess if it can't be used responsibly in that geographic region as a valuable fertilizer in some other way that doesn't harm the environment. The Department of Agriculture says in the Eastern Shore there's 228,000 tons of excess manure, that manure must be transported elsewhere.
Okay, Craig, does that answer it, or do you have a follow-up?
Well, I think that excess means that it can't be utilized within the operation, the actual farm that produces it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the neighbor or somebody elsewhere couldn't use it, because we're importing a lot of commercial fertilizer.
Right, but commercial fertilizer has a different makeup, my understanding, and Michelle will tell me if I'm wrong, or perhaps Craig, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, but commercial fertilizer may have a lower proportion of phosphorus, so you might need other nutrients, but you still couldn't use the chicken manure because it's too high in phosphorus.
I think that's probably correct in some situations. But I don't think that the entire shore is not able to use the product.
No, as Michelle just said, the estimate is about 21%, I think.
Well, if you opt not to use, to stop using commercial fertilizer and use litter, you're able to do that as long as you can demonstrate that your nutrient management plan allows for that and that the crops will uptake what you're applying to your land. So that's true anywhere. I mean, this bill doesn't limit where excess waste can be sent as long as there's a farmer with a nutrient management plan that can demonstrate to the companies that they can use it responsibly.
Craig, I appreciate your call. I want to move to Eric, is calling us from Baltimore. Eric, welcome to Midday.
Hi. I have a question. I think maybe the heart of the issue might be, from what I've seen in the past, that a lot of the different states make the most lenient laws to try to attract the poultry farms for business. And I wonder if an answer might be to try to deal with it on a federal basis so that all the states have the same rules to make them clean up after themselves. Do you think that might be something, an approach to take?
Eric, I appreciate the call. Michelle, what about that?
Yes. Agriculture, as in Maryland, is the number one source of water pollution nationwide. So there are many areas of the country that are struggling with the same problem. We would love for the EPA to make these poultry companies responsible under our federal environmental laws for waste management in a way that does not prevent, you know, runoff into our waterways. And we at Food and Water Watch have been pushing EPA in that direction for years and continue to push as well. But oftentimes when government is intractable at the federal level, you try to pass state legislation to build support for the federal fix. We think in Maryland we have the TMDL, which is a driver for change, an important one, the total maximum daily load. Right, the pollution diet that you talked about earlier. We have the passage of the PMT, which is an important tool, but the regulations do not address who needs to be, who's responsible for paying for it.
Well, there's
some urgency in Maryland.
Have other states done what you're proposing Maryland do? That is to say, put the financial burden on the poultry companies?
Well, there are other states where the poultry companies have contributed to poultry litter transport programs. For example, there was a lawsuit in Arkansas by the Tulsa Water Authority who sued poultry companies and the city of Decatur. And the settlement from that lawsuit required the poultry companies to create a litter bank and spend $7.5 million on that litter bank. The result of that program is most of the poultry litter has been sent out of the state. So they have kept, I think, about 10% of what they ultimately, you know, what they are ultimately producing every year in excess. And so that program's been successful, and the companies have paid more into that litter bank than what would be required under this law currently to deal with the 228,000 excess pounds of manure, and as far as we know, haven't gone out of business as a result.
Eric, thank you for raising that question. Margaret is calling us from Salisbury, Maryland. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Your question.
I'm calling because this bill has to become a law because I grew up in Annapolis, and ever since ever since I can remember, the chicken industry has always been polluting into the Chesapeake Bay, and somehow they've just managed to avoid being responsible for the chicken manure, for the last 30 years, and so this bill is and that was back when there weren't nearly as many chicken farms as there are now.
Let me pick up on that point and ask Carol Morrison, who's joining us from Pocomoke. I read that there have been there are a lot of new chicken houses and more going up. What do you see about the increase in the chicken business?
Well, what we're seeing here in the three lower counties of the Eastern Shore is an explosion in the building of chicken houses, of course. Industry wants these chicken houses. And, they're going so far to offer cash incentives for people to build them. These chicken houses of today can hold up to 60,000 chickens each. And the places where they're being built, they're not your normal family farm that is adding a couple of chicken houses, to their farming enterprise. These are actual developments of chicken houses, 10 to 15 of these huge warehouses. And we are slated for 200 this year of these huge buildings.
When you say we, are you talking about the state or the three counties you referred to?
The three lower counties of Maryland's Eastern Shore and Accomack County, Virginia. So it would be the four lower counties on the peninsula. And this is what we're slated for. These places are being built, where residents are already there, and county laws have limited, if any, restrictions on how things can be done. They refuse to address the issues and, take a look at zoning laws and are allowing these things to be built. Again, we already have a problem. And I don't understand the companies offering cash incentives for people to build more of these things to add to the problem.
We need to take another quick break here on that point. Carol Morrison is saying the problem, whatever the problem is now, is going to get bigger. You can join this conversation we're having with Carol Morrison, a former Purdue grower, now an organic chicken farmer, and with Michelle Merkel, co-director of Food and Water Justice, the legal arm of Food and Water Watch, the nonprofit environmental group. You can give us a call at 410-662-8780, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-866-661-9309, or you can send us an email at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. We're going to be right back to continue this conversation. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this hour about chicken manure, what to do about the mountains of chicken manure on the Eastern Shore. There's new legislation proposed in the General Assembly to put the financial burden on the poultry companies to pay for handling the chicken manure. We are talking with Michelle Merkel, co-director of Food and Water Justice, the legal arm of the environmental nonprofit Food and Water Watch. We're talking with Carol Morrison, an organic chicken farmer who used to grow chickens under contract with Purdue for 23 years. Carol, when you were a grower for Purdue, was excess manure something? How did you handle the excess manure?
Well, like I said earlier, we were fortunate and we were able to give it away. And it was a blessing because we had nothing else to do with the manure that was here.
And how do you handle it now that you're an organic farmer?
Well, actually, I only have 500 hens out on 14 acres of pasture. We rotate them around on the land so that there is no saturation. The hens are outside most of the time. And it allows for the land to absorb what it needs and pastures to rejuvenate. You know, I'm told that you can put 500 hens on pasture, 1 acre of pasture. To me, I still think that's too much. So we use 14 acres for 500 hens. We don't have a problem now. What little is produced inside the building, we give away. To someone who can use it. And, you know, that's simpler. What I was saying, though, about the back to the explosion in the building of the chicken houses, this is something, I'm going to even go back further. In 1995, we had a serious wake-up call here on the lower counties of the Eastern Shore with the outbreak of listeria. I don't know how many people remember that, but it's going back a ways. And that was caused by runoff from excess nutrients in the water. It was a serious issue, and it was determined that it was coming mostly from chicken farms or chicken manure over-applied on the land that was running off. Since then, we have been through studies, analysis, legislative efforts, all types of things, voluntary programs, and we're still addressing the issue. And this is 2016. This makes absolutely no sense to be in a state of denial that we don't have a problem.
Well, but when I hear you make that point, Carol, I turn back to Michelle Merkel. You were talking about what this legislation would do, shift the burden of something like $4 million, which sounds small in relation to the overall problem of manure. I mean, is this legislation really getting to the heart of the problem?
It's a good start. By making these companies transport the waste and manage it responsibly, we're heading in the right direction. I mean, as the Baltimore Sun editorial said, we think it is an elegant solution, a good place to start. It is a win-win-win in the sense that it's a win for farmers who, under this industrial system of production, live at or below the poverty line without second off-farm income. That's 71% of contract growers. That relieves the burden from them from having to deal with the excess waste, but allows them to keep what they need for their crops as a valuable fertilizer. It's a win for taxpayers because it starts to offer them some relief. As you point out, they're still spending millions of dollars each year to help with the problem, but it's a start to kind of shift this responsibility back onto the companies who, again, own the chickens and reap the profits. And it's a win, starting to be a win for the environment and public health, but again, because again, we need to find a solution to this problem.
In response to the legislation that was introduced this week, Bill Satterfield of the trade group, the Delmarva Poultry Industry, told this to the Delmarva Now news site, quote, "If the chicken companies become the owners, that is to say owners mm-hmm. of the birds, through state action, or I guess owners of the manure, through state action, hundreds of chicken growers could have a loss of income or could be forced to spend tens of thousands of dollars for fertilizers," close quote. And when I spoke with Julie DeYoung of the Purdue Farm spokeswoman yesterday, she made a similar point about the value of the manure.
Farmers don't consider it a waste. It's traditionally been a valuable fertilizer resource for them. So it's actually an economic benefit that they get from raising chickens to have the litter available either to use on their own farmland or to sell to other farmers or to litter brokers who in turn, you know, sell it. So it's been an economic benefit to farmers. With the changes in regulations that are coming, the phosphorus management tool, that may impact how much farmers can use on cropland, and how that's going to impact the dynamics of that, I think, is yet to be seen. So what these groups are calling waste, farmers call a valuable, fertilizer. It's a natural fertilizer that they use. So,
but
I think there's certainly a difference in perceptions there.
Yeah, certainly the phosphorus management tool does seem to take a different point of view of that. Once the phosphorus management tool is fully phased in, the Eastern Shore will be dealing with, as I understand it, 228,000 tons of excess chicken litter. What should be done with that?
Well, I think they're currently still sampling soils. I don't think anyone knows whether that number is accurate or yet what's going to be the actual amount of excess litter. You know, what I can tell you is that today, any excess litter, there is an outlet for it. Farmers, and you need to talk to some farmers about this, I would suggest, you know, I think they would be looking for some sort of compensation if today we said you aren't going to have litter to use as fertilizer.
So, Michelle Merkel of Food and Water Justice, I mean, is that part of the pushback here, that this is a valuable resource that's being undervalued by this legislation?
It is a valuable resource until it becomes too much, then it's a liability. So this legislation allows contract growers to keep the waste if they can use it as a valuable fertilizer. There's also a pathway forward where they can also use it for an alternative use. Again, there's some limitations around that. It can't be something that would harm the environment or communities, but it gives farmers that flexibility. But when farmers don't have a way of disposing of it or using it responsibly, this obligates the companies to step in and help them address that problem so that ultimately it isn't over-applied to our cropland and it isn't causing harm, but it's, again, managed by the companies who we think own the waste and have the obligation, like every other industry that creates a waste stream, to manage it appropriately.
Carol, yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to give an example here about, the argument, is it excess waste? It's not excess waste. In Wicomico County, right now on about 60 acres of land, there is a planned site for 13 brand new warehouses to be built to grow chickens. Now, with 60,000 chickens in each one of these poultry houses on 60 acres, where are they going to put that manure? they have no land to dispose of it, and this is what our industry is now. It is bigger, bigger, bigger all the time, and less land. You can only raise so many animals on an acre of land before the land cannot support it. And I think it's fairly obvious that the way the industry operates, that the land is not supportive of the industry, and it's not sustainable.
We have just a couple minutes left, and I want to pull Dee Dee into this conversation. Dee Dee is calling us from Baltimore. Dee Dee, welcome to Midday.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and I'll try to be quick.
Okay.
Couple of things. The Chesapeake Bay is a very important part of the state of Maryland, and we have to look out for its viability for economic and recreational reasons, and I'll mention economic first. What we're concerned about, those of us who keep up with the, what's going on at the bay, is that the poultry waste is polluting the Chesapeake Bay in ways that mean that the nitrogen content of the water is well above what it should be.
Right, and we talked about that earlier, Dee Dee. We're really tight on time, so I need your main point.
There's nothing new about businesses being held responsible for the way they do business. And I'm thinking of General Electric on the Hudson River, who's been having to spend a lot of money to clean up the environmental problems that they corrected.
Dee Dee, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Carol, if this legislation passes to put the financial burden on companies, is there any reason to think that do you think they will find a way to actually transfer the cost to the growers, to the farmers who contract with them to grow the chickens?
No, because the provision is there that the cost cannot be transferred onto the contract farmer. You know, it is for the company to take responsibility for the waste created by their animals. And that's the meat of the bill. It doesn't take any valuable fertilizer resource away from farmers who can use it.
I want to give the last minute we have to Michelle to add. You know, it may sound to some of our listeners as if there's sort of nothing that a big chicken corporation the size of Purdue or Tyson could do that's right. I mean, is the real problem here that the very existence of these very big corporations is antithetical to sound environmental practices?
No, I mean, this is about corporate accountability. As the previous caller said, anyone who operates a business in the state of Maryland that generates a waste stream should be responsible for it. This is all that we're asking with this bill, is that Purdue and Tyson and the other big companies be held to that same standard. We think it's, a very common sense piece of legislation that has broad support. I want to mention we have at least 45 sponsors in the House and 14 in the Senate.
And we'll leave it at that point. I want to thank you. Thank you very, very much, Michelle. Michelle Merkel, co-director of Food and Water Justice, the legal arm of Food and Water Watch, and Carol Morrison, former grower for Purdue for 23 years now, an organic farmer and critic of Big Chicken. I want to thank you, our listeners, also for being with us this hour and taking part in this conversation. And I want to thank Dangerously Delicious Pies for providing lunch for Midday guests. It's got locations at 2839 O'Donnell Street on the Square in Canton and 810 West 36th Street in Hamden. Their menu includes a large variety of homemade sweet and savory pies and quiches. More at dangerouspiesvault.com. And thank you again for listening. Tune in tomorrow for Agendas in Annapolis. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned now for Here and Now.
Midday is produced by Maureen Harvey and Andrea Appleton. The show is engineered by Luke Spicknall. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming are available at wypr.org or on demand using the WYPR app. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.